On this episode of Oklahoma Women Want to Know, sleep may not sound like a very sexy topic, but it's actually fascinating. Sleep affects so many aspects of our lives. You can tell I'm excited about this topic, yet so many people don't make it a priority. Actually, people may even envy you if you can only get a few hours of sleep and make it to work the next day. A good night's rest affects everything from heart health to weight loss and your ability to pay attention the next day. We're going to go in depth on this fascinating topic in just a moment. But first, my name is April Hill. I am the midday anchor and news director here at 102.3 KRMG, Tulsa's News and Talk.
I'm Jen Townley. I'm co-host of the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter.
And I'm Crystal Kelly, a reporter for KRMG.
Okay. If you could introduce yourself and pronounce your name for me, I don't want to butcher it, and tell us who you're with.
Sure. My name's Omri Singh. I'm a sleep medicine physician at St. Francis here in Tulsa.
Okay. And how did you get, why did you go into this profession, this field?
Great question. It's really needed. There's not a lot of sleep doctors out there. Sleep medicine's only been around for maybe 40 years, where things like cardiology and all the other specialties, you know, they have hundreds of years, 300 years of being like present. Sleep is really important. We're learning that more and more every year. I'm a little bit nerdy. I like math and stuff. So like reading sleep studies and numbers kind of just clicked. And it's also all outpatient. So you don't have to deal with the acuity of the hospital, which is nice in a lifestyle.
Okay. So how many hours do you suggest that we get sleep a night?
Another great question. The recommended amount of sleep for an adult, so 18 plus, is 7 to 9 hours of sleep.
Go ahead.
Two of the three of us are not getting the proper amount of sleep.
Right. My question's jumping in is going to be, what is the minimum that's less than seven? Where you can, where an adult can still function.
That's totally up to you. So I get that question a lot. And the answer is you want to get as much sleep as you can that you feel like you can appropriately function during the day. There are people in the world, they're known as short sleepers, and they can get away with doing maybe 6 hours, 5 to 6 hours in a 24-hour period, and then not feel tired during the day.
But those are rare.
Those are rare. And surprisingly, that runs in families. So if your mom could, or your mom or your dad could get away with that much sleep and do perfectly fine, you're more likely to be that type of person.
Okay, and I want to talk about the stigma, like we were talking about before we started here. I tell people that I need 9 hours of sleep, and they look at me like, oh, I feel sorry for you. It's cool if you can only get a few hours of sleep because people think, oh, I envy her. Think of how much you could get done if you only need 3 or 4 hours of sleep. But I think that thought process is starting to change as we figure out how sleep really is important, what it does to your brain and your body while you're sleeping. I mean, it heals while you're sleeping. All the things, it's like a mechanic in there.
It helps your skin.
Yeah.
Your skin repairs.
Yeah.
For vanity, it helps repair your skin cells.
Yeah. So what happens when you sleep to your body? What does it do?
So sleep is incredibly important in terms of recovery for essentially all your organs in your brain. A normal adult will go through 4 to 6 cycles of sleep a night. So I'm sure you've heard of REM sleep and non-REM sleep. So you start awake, you know, you fall into non-REM sleep. The non-REM sleep is distributed into 1, 2, and 3. And 3 is kind of where all the recovery happens, but you need to pass the initial stages to get to that point. And then you enter REM sleep and then you restart that cycle. You enter the deeper stages of sleep more frequently the longer you sleep. And so it's important to approach the recommended amount of sleep so you you give your body enough time to enter those deeper stages of sleep. So you can recover and feel better the next day.
So is that's why when you hear you need to get so much sleep or you're not going to do it's, if you don't get enough sleep, it can give you heart problems or can give you this problem or that problem. That's because you're not getting into that third cycle.
Sort of. Yeah. The heart problems and the other things may be related to other things like sleep apnea and other things. This is almost like a pseudoscience, right? We don't really know. We just kind of guess. If you're not giving your brain and your body enough time to sleep, we know that that patient population is at increased risk of cardiac events.
Okay, so let's talk about
I had a question.
THC and alcohol. A lot of people will take THC to go to sleep and alcohol to go to sleep.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Another great question. So alcohol specifically, it'll put you to sleep. I'm sure everyone has, gone out, had a few drinks, and you get home and you're zonked out. Alcohol actually, while it puts you to sleep, it'll wake you up often in the middle of your sleep. Mm-hmm. And so you may wake up with that hangover effect. And that's because of the way alcohol works on your brain and the receptors it works on for sleep specifically. So while it may put you to sleep, it fragments your sleep a lot so you don't get a good quality of sleep.
Mm-hmm. Or you keep having to pee.
Yeah, I got it before. Right. Yeah. I got up in the middle of the night and had chocolate ice cream because I had some drinks last night. Now I'm regretting that.
Yeah. I would say if you're looking for a good night's sleep, alcohol is probably not. Probably not the best.
And THC.
I don't think there's a lot of data behind THC, but I suspect it works probably very similarly. It probably helps you go to sleep. But it probably works on parts of your brain that help kick you out of sleep or wakes you up. Unfortunately, there's probably not any studies out there.
Mm-hmm. So then what about melatonin? Sometimes it's suggested for people who have sleep problems to help them fall asleep, or if you take certain medications that would keep you awake, does it have the same problems or the same effects, or do you actually get a good night's sleep with it?
Yes and no in terms of getting a good night's sleep. So it's hit or miss. And one of the reasons for that is melatonin is a internal compound that your brain produces. But we don't know that if you take it orally, you take the gummy or whatever, how much of that actually gets into your bloodstream and works in your brain. Believe it or not, the melatonin hasn't been, it's not like FDA approved. And so it's like a supplement.
It's a supplement.
It's a supplement you're taking. So for some people it works and some people it doesn't.
Now with my issue, I can fall asleep mid-sentence faster than anybody. Drives my boyfriend crazy because 2 minutes I'm out. But I don't stay asleep. So I take trazodone.
Okay.
Because I don't feel groggy the next morning or anything else. But I've heard horror stories about some of the other drugs. How does that make you stay asleep all night? How does that work?
What is it? Explain that to me.
They're sleep aids.
It's just a sleep aid.
I took Ambien, the release one time, and it scared the hell out of me. I never took it again.
What did you buy? Did you buy stuff online?
I felt like I was on a really, really heavy drug.
Yeah.
People cook full-on meals.
People go shopping.
And don't remember.
They drive their car and don't remember. It's scary stuff.
That time release stuff is, whoo.
Yeah. So let's take trazodone, for example. It's a very common sleep aid that's prescribed to help you fall asleep and hopefully stay asleep. In general, I'm not a big fan of sleep aids, mainly because if you look at every medication that helps you sleep, whether it's Ambien, trazodone, melatonin, and you do a sleep study on someone, they all decrease REM sleep and N3 sleep. There are very few medications that don't affect, how you sleep. Trazodone is, I think, it's originally made as an antidepressant, but it had sleepy properties, which is why people use it to help them fall asleep, especially at the lower doses.
Yeah, I take like 25 milligrams. That's it. Yeah. And if I don't take it, I wake up in the middle of the night.
Do you feel like you have a more of like an insomnia issue?
No, because I fall asleep like super fast.
Okay, okay. Why are you waking up in the middle of the night?
I don't know. Okay. You're the sleep doctor.
Well, I guess we're doing an interview.
Well, let's talk about what you would recommend to fall asleep. I mean, body temperature has a lot to do with it. Sometimes I'll take a bath before I go to sleep. Yes. And that seems to help.
That makes me sleepy.
It makes so core body temperature, it's like a big thing now, I feel like, if you listen to like sleep podcasts and stuff.
I do.
Andrew Huberman, he's like one of the big sleep guys. The two things that we know that control when you fall asleep and when you wake up are melatonin and core body temperature. And so they've studied that at like Stanford and stuff like that. The core body temperature, we know your core body temperature 2 hours generally before you wake up, it drops a bit, and so it stops your internal melatonin production. So after those 2 hours, you're easier to wake up. I don't know if lowering your body temperature helps you fall asleep. It may make you, you know, it's maybe like a placebo effect type thing. Things that you can do to help you fall asleep is just consistency, believe it or not. So wake up at the same time every day. Try to go to bed at the same time every day. And that's just teaching your mind that, hey, when I go to bed, it's sleep time, and so I'm going to go to sleep. And then you wake up at the same time every day, and you don't nap in between. So it's like disciplining your mind into helping it fall asleep.
Okay, so if you don't get enough sleep one weekend, can you catch up or not? Like, and make up for the next day?
Yeah. So like sleep deprivation and sleep debt. Theoretically, you don't catch up. Maybe if it's just a one night, let's say you only get 4 hours of sleep, the next day you will sleep a little bit longer because your body wants to hit those stages of sleep, I guess, more frequently. So it's going to make you sleep longer if you let it. In terms of like catching up, there's no real, there's no way to count how much sleep debt you've built. But they've done studies on like, if you let someone sleep for 4 hours for weeks and then you let them, then you just let them sleep, they will sleep longer in general. And that's their body trying to achieve these deeper stages of sleep over and over.
So my question, which kind of goes back to a prior conversation. So we talk about some people can manage with 6 hours of sleep or however it is. What about those who break up their sleep into naps?
Into naps.
So say you work really odd hours and then you have kids and you get home and you're able to sleep for, if you're lucky, 2 hours, just depends on what your nap is. And then you're up and you're doing your things with your family. And then you go back to sleep and it's maybe for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And then you wake up for the day.
See, I can't
How
do
bad
naps.
Is that?
It makes me more tired.
Yeah, but I don't have a choice.
Right.
you're saying because of the obligations you have during
well,
the day.
Well, between my work schedule, which I'm fine with, I don't mind it, but it is odd, and I have kids, and my husband works opposite me. So in the evenings, it's me with them. So I have to be up, and you know, I can't just go in my room and close the door. I have to be up and parent. So I'll get, you know, maybe if I'm lucky, a 2.5 hour nap when I get home, maybe around 1 o'clock, and then I'm up for the school bus. But then when I go back to sleep, I may get, there are times when I might get 5 hours or I might get four, or it just depends. I have a little son.
She sleeps in a split schedule. She's not going to get into that deep realm that she needs.
Yeah. That, I mean, I totally understand that. It's not that, it sounds like it's just based on your schedule. You're sleeping when you can.
Uh-huh.
The whole recommendation thing, you know, 7 to 9 hours is how much you should be getting in a 24-hour period. So you're breaking it up, right? Which is fine if you don't have, the way I would phrase it, if you're not having significant daytime consequences to your current sleep schedule. So let's say you're not falling asleep inappropriately during the day when you're not supposed to. So like driving or at work.
Then or during a meeting.
Oh my God, that happens.
That's
like
normal
once.
Though. That's
that
normal.
Happened
she
once.
Fell asleep during a meeting.
Thank you, rat.
Then I
April's
would say
a rat.
Breaking up your sleep is fine.
It is.
It is fine, yeah.
So why is it that if I take a nap, most of the time I'm more tired? Why does that happen?
Well, does it matter on the length of time you take a nap?
Exactly. I was wondering about your REM cycle. Like if she woke, is it waking up in the middle of a REM cycle?
That's probably what it is.
How long do you recommend? I'll try to sleep for like an hour and then I end up sleeping like 3 hours.
Oh, no.
And then I'm tired.
That's not a nap.
I know.
I hear power naps, like a good 20-minute nap. Is that a real thing? A power nap?
I don't believe
we're throwing
that.
All these questions at you at once. Boom, 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 go.
Okay, he said, we got to let him answer.
Guys. I know.
That's an important. Okay, what did you just say?
So a regular cycle is going to last 60 to 90 minutes. Everyone is different, you know, and it's going to differ from day to day and what you did that day, how tired you are, how much sleep you got before. But generally, if you wake up from the middle of the nap and you feel groggy, it may be you're in between your cycle and you're kicking yourself out. Whether that's, you know, it's an alarm clock waking you up, someone else waking you up, or like a dream or something waking you up, you may be in between cycles. And so you're not getting the amount of sleep that your body wanted at that time.
Are you saying when you break it up into like the three cycles that you're... Earlier you said you sleep in like three different cycles, right? So is that what you mean by cycle?
By cycle, I mean you've gone through all the stages of sleep. So you hit the wake, non-REM, REM, you know. And so that cycle typically is about 90 minutes, maybe a little bit less, a little bit more. And then it repeats. And so a normal person has anywhere between 4 to 6 cycles a night if you sleep the total, you know, 7 to 8 hours.
Oh,
but if you're sleeping during the day, you're going to start entering that. And then if you wake up in the middle of it, you know, you're in between your sleep cycle. So you may feel groggy because your body wants to complete that and then wake up at the end.
That makes sense.
I thought that you were saying when you do those three cycles, that would be so like the first 2 hours of sleep, it would be that first cycle. And then the next 2 hours would be that second cycle. And then you would get into that heavy REM. Mm. So it constantly goes in a loop.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. That makes me feel a little bit better about my life.
Right.
Sleep life.
That's why the power naps, it doesn't make sense to me. You're not, it's 10 to 20 minutes. It's not long enough to hit the restorative.
Okay.
What it does do, though, is it makes you be still. And sometimes just being still.
Just relaxing.
For 15 minutes is what you need.
Yeah. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah. You know what I think is so interesting? Because people are starting to put more of a priority on sleep, I noticed that there are commercials now for sleep aids for children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the, like melatonin, sometimes doctors will say... Depending.
Yeah, but they're doing commercials now for parents to put their kids to sleep.
Oh, you mean like prescription drugs?
Or I don't have kids, so I don't.
You're not supposed to use Benadryl anymore.
That much. But I just noticed there are commercials for hey parents, if you want your kids to go to sleep, give them this. And I just thought, wow, what have we come to where parents are just trying to put their kids to sleep?
Yeah, and knock them out, or essentially?
I guess there's a well, sometimes it might be that the kid is having so much trouble sleeping, maybe, that they're not getting any sleep, as opposed to when people are like, yeah, I'm ready to knock my kid out so we can go have some drinks.
I've never noticed those commercials until recently, which I think is interesting.
That may be more, I feel like, a sign of our times type of
thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Big time.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of pediatric or kids who have trouble sleeping, a lot of it is behavioral type of things. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying you should definitely, you know, parents out there, talk to your doctors. And there are conditions in sleep that kids have, and they may need to go see a sleep specialist if you have them, because kids can have sleep apnea or restless leg and all that stuff. So,
does your sleep change as you get older?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Essentially, you sleep less and you nap more as you
I've
get
noticed
older.
Yeah.
Your need for sleep doesn't change, but your total sleep time decreases a bit. And so as a baby, up until adolescence, you sleep more, and then it's kind of like a bell curve. And as you get older into your 60s and 70s, the amount of sleep you need is not necessarily less, but it gets broken up more. So you'll find older people nap more.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, as long as I'm not too tired.
That may just because they're retired, right?
And they can.
They can, yeah.
Or their bodies are just different. Maybe they get more tired.
But they got to get up early for bingo.
And walking. And
yeah.
What about when we were talking about sleep aids or things to do or not to do? You always hear on TV with experts saying, don't look at your phone before you go to bed because of the blue light, or it's don't watch TV, or should you read a book or not read a book because then you still have to have a light on the book so you could see what you're doing, or a Kindle, or a, you know, an iPad.
Yeah.
So what about all that? Like, what's good, what's not good, or is it still a personal?
So sleep hygiene, right? That goes into building good habits into falling asleep. So yes, you should, if the issue is falling asleep, you should stay away from light or screens in general. The blue light thing, I think the data behind it is whatever, you know.
Okay.
Like blue light, sunglasses or whatever. But the idea is if you get exposure to light, that awakens your brain. There's a deep physiology, melatonin production, all that. So if you're looking at your phone, the light enters your eyes and awakens parts of your brain, which cause you to stay awake. So that's why you shouldn't look at your phone. Some people say 30 minutes, some people say 2 hours.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I don't believe anybody's not looking at their phone for 2 hours, right? Anyone.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that.
Right? So,
but in terms of like you don't want your mind to be in a place where it's activated or some stimulus causes an arousal. So if you're reading something that's interesting, your brain is working, so it's less likely to go to sleep. Now, I can fall asleep watching a YouTube video, like a sports highlight. That's because, like, I don't know, it's just like a rhythmic thing, and then mm-hmm. I'll just fall asleep. I'm not really engaged in that. So that's the whole reason behind sleep hygiene. A lot of people will, you know, they don't realize that that may be an issue causing them to stay awake, though, and that's where it comes in. Like if they're on their phone for hours at a time in bed, you're basically multitasking in bed. You're telling your brain it's okay for me to lay in bed and not sleep and do this at the same time, because when you go to bed, you should try to sleep.
Yeah, I find myself, if I have something on TV, I sleep my TV on.
Yeah.
And my husband got me he's a history buff, so I'll find like some history hit something. Lately, it's a lot of like royal family stuff from like the 1500s. But it's usually the tone of whoever the person is that's narrating it is more relaxing. Yeah. But I find that if it's something I'm really interested in, I have to turn it off.
Right.
Because then I'm wanting to see what's going on. And so that gets...
What about sound? Because there's all these apps that you can get.
Like the Calm app.
The Calm app, which is expensive.
The Calm app, right.
Yeah.
See, I just tell Google to play Thunderstorms for an hour. And that's what I sleep to.
I have a fan app. It's just a fan.
Funny. Jason had some storm thing playing the other night. And
that's
I was like, I keep having to get up and pee.
Okay, I have Matthew McConaughey reading me stories.
That I was like. So does that factor into anything?
Yeah. White noise is one of the sleep hygiene tips. So whatever, you know, it's like the monotonous, whether it's a storm, a fan, and that's that has been shown to help you fall asleep. So I tell that to all my patients. Like,
so when I have a hard time falling asleep, it's because my brain goes down all these rabbit holes, yep, of every mistake, mm-hmm, and every regret I've ever done in my entire life.
Yeah,
that's why I do the Trazodone, because my brain will not shut off.
So I'm a big, this is a, I guess, a kind of like a passion project of mine. So if you talk to people who have trouble sleeping, it's often that they can't shut their mind off. Mm-hmm. And that's the only time when you go to bed that you're alone with your own thoughts.
Yes.
And so it's a dangerous combination. So the recommendation is something called cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. Mm-hmm. And essentially, it's a self-directed way of turning your mind off. And it has, like, the big part of it is a sleep diary. So you keep a track of how you sleep. There are phone apps for it. You can look it up. You know, they're free. But the idea behind it is, like, it's akin to, like, playing a sport. You know, you go, you know, I'm not going to go out and shoot hoops like LeBron James, like, you know, like, but he puts in the work and he practices to get good. So cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia is a form of way of training your mind to get out of its own head, mm-hmm, and set those worries aside so that when you go to bed, you're ready to fall asleep.
Yeah. Tell yourself, okay, don't think about that. Just,
I know.
Just think about, sometimes,
but,
I'll.
But thinking about it makes it worse.
Makes it worse.
Don't think, yeah, about that. Yes. You're thinking about not thinking.
Exactly. And that makes your brain work even more. Mm-hmm. Makes you more, one of my brain explode.
Or do you go over conversations you've had during the day too when you go to sleep at night?
I try not to. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, usually if it's where you've had that kind of a day, yeah, and you can't turn yourself off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's normal. The issue becomes is when that happens day in and day out, and it's causing you to stay awake for hours at an end. So that's when.
Is that insomnia?
That's insomnia. Yeah. That's chronic insomnia.
And sometimes I've heard of, well, Dan Potter does that breathing technique. There's a breathing technique where you...
The four square, breathe in.
Yeah, tell us what that is.
That's just like a meditation technique just used to calm your mind. So in general, it's like trying to get rid of those anxious thoughts and focus on something else so you calm your mind. So when you go to bed, you've already got all that stuff out of your head and you're ready to fall asleep.
I do something similar to that, and I know it's really weird, but I'll lay there and, like, concentrate on relaxing every single part of, yeah, my body.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be like, okay, relax the feet,
yeah,
relax your ankles, mm-hmm, and then I fall asleep.
It's meditation, yeah.
That's meditation, yeah.
Like, I do weird things, you know that.
Yeah.
Well, this has been great. Thank you for coming in and spending time answering our crazy questions.
Sure, anytime.
And make sure you hit the subscribe button for the next Oklahoma Women Want to Know podcast.